God has definitely, through a very supernatural means, had shed a light, a spotlight from heaven on the Word, and made truths that may have been just the printed page. He's caused them to come alive in a panorama of action, life, and truth. And as I've given this to the congregation here, and it's been taped in the public services, these tapes are the tapes they're referring to, the messages of truth that God has for our day. It is so important. It's so important. I'm going to ask you boys and girls right down here in this front row, I want you to listen real close to what we say. Lay everything down. I'm going to delete. This is very important. God is here. These truths are so important. Do you remember the first message that I gave you after this visitation? Was a message that God's heart, when he's desirous of the hearts of the fathers turning again to the children to the father, and then he finished the word, that's the verse, and to prepare a people for the Lord. And what he's doing? God's just preparing a people for the Lord. I know of literally hundreds of people who are now in fellowship with Jesus since God began circulating this message. It isn't something that has stopped here. The work of God's hosts, the heavenly hosts, working in this world, hastening men and women to God, is going on. And there are literally, around this world, literally millions of people that have been turned to God. God just brought the message to us of what he was feeling. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. In my ministry in the Philippines, I was made so aware of the need of putting these messages down in print, as well as in tape, so that these men could take these truths and that could support them with scripture and use them, mix them in with their messages, giving the truth to the people. Well, speaking as the Far East Advanced School of Theology in Manila, the president and the instructors there, all of them learned men, most of them with the doctors, the degrees, stated that they needed this material to give to their students. And I've had telephone calls and letters from many, many of our pastors in this country saying, would you give us the material? We have calls or letters from many foreign countries asking for the same thing. And with God's help, we're going to get this out there. Praise God. In my advertisements in the paper for the services today, I asked the question, what is God doing? Something is happening in the world today that has never happened before. What is God doing? We hear statements, we hear reports of victories to all parts of the world. We hear about us Catholic people fellowshipping with Pentecostal people. We hear about the Seventh-day Adventists worshiping with people who worship on Sunday. We hear about Mormons and Catholics getting together. Well, some you may never have heard of that. I'm hearing about it. You know what's happening? Something very, very special is taking place. God is hastening his work. Pretty stuff. People often look at what the Lord is doing, and they wonder now, how is this, what's this going to mean to me? What's this going to mean to my church? And had a number of people ask me the question now, how is this going to affect the Assemblies of God? I have my ordination. While I was in the Philippines, I had a group of Baptist people come and say, now, how is this message going to affect the Baptist people out here? God isn't really too concerned about the denominations. I'll tell you why. What God is doing today is so much broader than any church group. God did not say, for God so loved the world that he, or for God so loved 0.5% of the world that he gave his only begotten son for them. Oh, no. He takes these various denominations, they're just a small fraction. But God said, he loves the world. Hallelujah. He loved the world. So he's doing something very special today. He's not building his church from one denomination. He still comes through with a message that he brought to Joshua as he stood by the river. Joshua walks up to this messenger from heaven, and he said, are you with us, or are you with our competitors? He didn't use that word, better studies. It says, are you with us, or are you with our enemies? You remember what this angel said? He said, I'm not too concerned. We're not too concerned about you or your enemies. As roof to people, he said, as captains of the Lord of hosts. And they came with the orders. They came on an assignment. Joshua didn't know at the time what that assignment was, but he soon found out that Israel's job was to work from ground level. And they were to obey God's orders. They marched around those walls. And here was a human army marching under orders from God. And while up above was a great army from heaven, and it made a great pincer movement against the enemies of God. And well, when the shout was given as this army of earth marched around the walls, that one of the most foolish orders that was ever given to an army of people, walk around the wall. That was poor battle strategy. I venture to say some of the people in those days who liked to think logically could have said, well, this doesn't fit human logic. Watch them. There's people today that just read that and they want to believe God, so they try and figure out some ways that those people's off the walls down by marching around. I even read in one place where they said these people were such good marchers that they marched with such good rhythm that they created a vibration that was felt in these first crash and it's out of the wall, come down. They had a big coin army to make us a vibration like that, wasn't it? And then there are some other theories that people come up with because, well, the walls went down. Because you know what really happened? When God gives us a job to do, we sometimes say, it can't be done. Humanly impossible. God says, use the human end of it. What I tell you to do. And I've got some supreme forces at work that will do what you can't do. Listen, folks. When God gives you something to do, you do what he's given you to do. And he'll do what you can't do. So these people walked around the wall. They did what the Lord said. They shouted. And I told some of them were about ready to say, I told you so. That happened. I just walking around the wall and shouting. But when they shouted, that was the captain's signal. He had sealed orders that God gave me to death. He my move is on the cow. And so he sent those angels out, and they all got on that wall, and they pushed right down into the ground. If you find yourself in some tough spots, can't do it, John. Can't do it. Don't worry. God has gift in the Lord's hopes and heavenly forces out there working for you. You ever wonder why he was called the Lord of hosts? It's because God commands another army to praise God forever.
So the question is, God, are you with us or are you against us? The classic question that's still being asked.
We need to take a little closer look at our attitudes.
There are some denominations who are saying, we are it.
If you're going to go to heaven, you have to be what we are. You have to learn and accept our truth. Then you can go to heaven. And heaven is prepared for a little tiny fraction of the people. Small place. Next time you hear somebody say, you have to belong to and you have to accept this particular teaching, you go to heaven, I want you to mark down right off that they're wrong. Because God isn't going to support that.
There are people
who will say, oh, I would never say a thing like that. I would never say that people has to come far away.
But there are people who are saying, if it's really of God, it has to come through us.
Do you know that I had a minister tell me that? If God was going to bring some truths like this and highlight the truths that he put in his words, we have some well-educated DDs, PhDs, and so on, that God will use them. And if God doesn't use them, must not be of God. If God's going to do something,
why isn't he doing it through us?
When God does something, let's not care who it comes through. We pray for God to do it. And when God moves, let's be thankful for it. Hallelujah. Let's praise God for it. When God moves.
Then there are some who may stand this position, but in practice,
by provincial attitudes, they're excluding people with God. I was telling some people about what God is doing in the Catholic faith. God is waking up great sleeping giant in what he's doing with the Catholics today. I was mentioning to some people that God has so beautifully moved upon, blessed. And these two men looked at me and they says, have they taken the statues out of the church? Have you asked them whether they quit praying to Mary? Have they thrown away the beads that they had around their neck? Oh, I bet. God did not make us the authority. God can take things that have been written clear off by man and can use them. He said he could even make a worm and thrash a mountain with it. People may stand by and say, hey, what's that worm doing? He doesn't have authority. Worm puts the mountain back in shape. Put it back the way it was. But I'll tell you, when God moves, God has his reasons for the way he moves.
So this is one of the things that the Lord isn't doing, is building a church from inside of one denomination. Another thing he's not doing is necessarily glorifying super churchers. though there are massive congregations that are coming together as a result of what God is doing. But the fact that they may have a super organization does not mean that that's what God is going to use. He is not glorifying super personalities. One of the dangers today of the Christian world, just one, if God does start to use an individual, people want to take that individual and practically mount him on the wall to light the candle in front of. If there happens to them, the move of God is to healing or through families. There are people that would venerate that individual. When God himself wants to have the glory, what God is doing is not glorifying man. I want you to know that. This great move of God is not to glorify churches and it's not to glorify man. Praise God. What is God doing with the world? What are his plans for the world? There are people who say, well, if God is in it, God wants to make the world a democracy. You don't know how wrong you are. God never plans democracy. Democracy is better than the other governments compared with it. A lot more liberty, a lot more freedom, and I want you to thank God for where you live. But this isn't what God is wanting to do with the world today. His plans for the world is not to take democracy and spread it around the world. Though God does honor and has promised to bless men and women where he is honored, whether it be a democracy or a monarchy or whatever it is, when God is honored, he has promised to bless because of what he is doing. Just briefly, God has plans for this world. And the bottom line, I'm not going to wade through the book of Revelation for you, but the bottom line of what God has plans for this world is that it's going to be a great kingdom with God, with Jesus as it's a great theocracy. Jesus Christ in charge. Oh, hallelujah. God gave me a living panorama of this picture just last Sunday morning. And I could see what was happening in those days. There are some that say, oh, all of this has happened in the past. I'll tell you, it's something that's going to be happening. And thus God allows me to see the grief itself. What is 1820 says? Hallelujah. Well, the Lord was allowing me to see this beautiful panorama that was taking place. I could see and hear great voices in heaven. I heard Michael and Gabriel and others, great angels of heaven, shouting the words in these voices. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. Oh, hallelujah. When the choir sings that, this Christmas is going to have more meaning to me. And while they were shouting this great message, and it was literally reverberating from one side of heaven to the others, I saw the beings that God has before the throne. They're spoken of as the 24 elders that were there. They're an angelic being of worship, and they fell down in the presence of God. Oh, hallelujah. And as they were lying on their faces before God, the Lord allows me to see the veil being drawn back from the temple in heaven. And as I saw that temple, he focused my attention onto the Ark of the Covenant that was there. And there on the Ark was the blood-stained mercy seat. Oh, hallelujah. And he said that his covenant would never be broken, that those whose sins were
were under the command of his coming. Those who have put their faith in what Jesus has done. Those who have met God as his mercy seat. Their sins were covered. You know, in the ark that was on earth, the broken commandments that Moses had were kept in that ark and covered with the mercy seat. The mercy seat was a picture on earth and feet to see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And through unto the eternal ages in heaven. The cost of our salvation is going to be in prominence. The temple was open and exposed. But the ark and the thought. Praise God forever. Praise God.
Some of you might wonder, well, is that scriptural? It is scriptural. I haven't just looked it up lately. But it's he did make reference to the fact that in the 11th chapter, verse 15 to 19, if just referred to in brief, but that living panorama was so beautiful.
It's going to be put at land. God's plan for this earth is that Jesus is going to be the king. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This whole earth is going to be, following that, will be purified by fire, and there will be a new heavens and a new earth. But Jesus is going to be the king.
That's what God plans for the world. Now, just,
I feel it's so important to tell you what God is doing. God is unfolding his plans for his people.
God's plans for people are included in these divine.
One, his plan is for reconciliation. He wants to reach out and draw men and women back to himself.
He wants to tell them, come, you can shake hands now. The wrath is turned away.
Didn't count.
That's his message of reconciliation. Yet he wants to restore, bring you back into a place of fellowship with himself. Third, he wants to give you light. These are the plans that God has for his people. The Lord so emphasized this to me, and I'm going to mention it again. I feel that this is so important to God, that he was by divine messenger bring these truths and this message and say, get it out.
I feel it has greater importance than we could possibly fight ourselves. This is important to God. God wants the world to know that he wants them. Hallelujah.
He wants them to know. And I have there's a beautiful truth that he made so real to me last Sunday morning, early in the morning, as Gabriel met with me in that office and spoke to me about what God is doing, God's message today.
He spoke to me about the seeds that have been sown in the hearts and minds of people around the world.
That is a gospel message, though it may not have been received, it may not have been germinated,
that the seed has gone forth and it's been sown in many lives.
And that God's plan for believers is this. Just this, Philip. God's plan for you is that you take on and become the light of God, his people. That you actually
have the nature and partake of the nature of Jesus.
This is his plan, people. In 1 Peter, I'm going to read a few verses here. Have your Bibles, I'd like to have you follow this with me. 1 Peter chapter 1. This is God's plan for you.
He isn't necessarily wanting you to become the greatest Bible teacher in the earth. He's not intending for you just to grow in great stature as far as moving people is concerned. He wants you to be like Jesus. God's highest plan for you is that you be like Jesus in this world. And we'll be coming back to this truth in just a moment. I'm going to read from verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. All things that pertain to this life, that pertain to godliness, has been given unto us. And then we learn to know Him, see Him as He is. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. God wants you to be like Jesus. Partakers of that divine nature. Having escaped the pollution or the corruption that is in the world through lust. God has a beautiful escape and you get to know God. Those things that you have been battling will follow you. You'll have victory over them. But in the purity of Jesus, God wants literally millions of representatives, each of them representing the beauty of Jesus in this world. Then he goes on to tell us the things about the nature of Jesus. Give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. All of these things are the characteristics of the nature of Jesus. He said, add these things to your life. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he tells us, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and it's forgotten that he is purged from his old sins. God's desire for you is for you to be like Jesus and not to slip back into an old way. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your callings and your election sure, for if you do these things, you will never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and ye be established in the truth. God wants us to be like Walter. Now, let me draw your attention back to this word as a great field that's been planted, seeing its things. Often in many places, well, the water that they've been watered by the tears of people. God's great work that He's doing today in drawing people close to Himself. And allowing them and leading them into a place where His life is being seen in them, that the life of Jesus is being seen. Jesus' life is like where tells us that in Him was life, and that life was the light of men, lights people in the world. So, look at it this way. God has set you in the world as a light. And now he says, it's time to arise and to shine, for your light is come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The looks, the nature of Jesus has risen upon you. The glory of the Lord is streaming from you. What is the purpose of this? Just to give you a place of beauty and prominence. No, that likeness of Jesus that's streaming from your life is becomes the warm rays of God's love. That His gentleness, of His nature that goes forth. And as this mighty angel was speaking, he said that the seed has been sown. And now as we partake of the nature of Jesus, and we shine the warm rays from both eyes that germinate at the sea some. And then all over the country. And this, there's going to be because the seed is there. Gospel, the seed of the gospel is there. He doesn't say to stop sowing, but he does say that as we move about in this world, as we are ministering, living among people, that something in their heart is going to come to life. Hallelujah. See, they're going to be screaming life. And they're going to have a new life. People that are dead in sins are going to come alive because the seed. There are some of you here today that may not know Christ, but I want you to think of times that seed has been sown. You've been probably in a home, a mother that's left God, a father's left God, or you've been out working. You've looked up in the sky and your mind seemed to drift with the things of God. There must be a God out there somewhere. Or you've been spared some grievous accident by God's help. Or you were listening to the radio and you heard a song told about God and there was a soft piece in your heart. You may have even had to dab a tear away from your eye. It was a song your heart was doubts. You may have heard a message sometime along the seed was. I think of this telephone call that we received from up in the Peace River country. This man called Weepy. They had listened to that tape in a saloon. And he told me that 16 years before, he had heard a sermon. And that his heart felt that he should surrender to the Lord, that some seed was. But he said as he was listening to tape, he had all he. And he came to her phone and called and asked how he could find it. I was able to pray for him over the phone. He slipped his hand in the Lord's. And then he said, now I'm going back and tell these other 16 men who are weeping as they're listening to that tape. And we'll tell them. It's God. God is warming by his life, by his presence, by his work through believers, by his divine visitations, by all these doings. God is causing and readying a people for the Lord. You believe that? Hallelujah. He's readying them for the Lord. Well, while Gabriel was telling me this, I feel it that I have not been able to communicate the way that it was communicated in my own heart, that the world is ready. The world is ready, and the seeds are ready to spring forth as the light shines upon them. As he was speaking to me about this, something happened. I will never forget. I mentioned in my Sunday school class last Sunday, and I felt so awed by it. I couldn't even talk about it here in the church. But while he was speaking to Henry, suddenly a shaft of light, about 18 inches from us, came into that room of the house, my office there. It did not diffuse and go on the moon. It did a light like a luminous point. Right? It was a shaft of light. I looked at it, but it was so dazzling I couldn't keep my eyes quiet. And I felt so absolutely consumed by the brightness of that light. Gabriel, who was standing like this other great angel, was there. I thought they made no reference, except they begins telling again about the immune pivot that was going to be Germany seeds in life. And I have I taken this? It hasn't been important enough to how important this must be to God, to my supernatural means. Let me know. Let us know that he wants the believers to be shafts of light, beaming warm love in the world, that the seeds that are sown in lives everywhere will suddenly germinate, and they'll say, oh, that I need God. I want him. I must have him. What is God trying to do? God loves people. God is not seeking to condemn people. He's seeking to bring them to himself. But yeah, in Jesus, when he stated what he came to do, he said, I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Praise God. I was reluctant to mention this. There's so many things that people may hear, they may have to sort out them in ways. I don't know yet what this light does, but I can't help but think that God himself goes into that room to emphasize and for Edith. Light, risen and metal. I thought that it had to be something very important for these mighty angels to stop. And been holding you. I feel that while I'm speaking this morning, God and she, you would have. I wouldn't even be surprised if some of you here would even catch a glimpse of that light. So fast. May your lives as never be the same. Oh, God. Huh. I have to tell you this morning, I cannot take what God's doing lightly. It's the most important thing right now. It's God is carrying your message out the world. He's saying to the world, I love you.
I want you.
He's wanting the world to be loved through you. To the fear of you. Oh, Jesus. I can't continue this message. There's some other things that are of tremendous importance. I feel it. God is giving to see her voice. I feel that he's putting his hand on. I feel that seed that has been sown, not only is gospel seed, but seeds of hope, seeds of desire for service for God, seeds of real faith and belief and salt in your heart, because of the warmth what God is doing, are spreading the light. Do you feel this morning that there is a quickening in your own spirit? Do you feel it? If you feel it this morning, I want you to respond with a loud, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, that's the beginning of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Some of you may never have had the courage to place your hands on someone. Pray that life would go through them and they would be healed. But today, God's presence and the light of the gospel that's shining in your heart, the light that's risen on you, is causing a glow. There, and that faith, God wants you to pray. You never had the faith to just talk to someone. You didn't know whether they would listen to you. But all of a sudden, there's a confidence coming. And you're able to share the beauty of Jesus, beauty of this message. God wants them. Hallelujah. That he loves them. That he has. Let's just stand together right now. Turn the whole auditorium into a prayer room. We're right in the very presence of God. There may be some of you this morning who don't know him, and you would like to just move right to the front here, or right where you are. Just reach out your hand and slip it in God's. For God is telling you today that he is not angry with you anymore, that his wrath is turned away, and the seeds that have been sown in your life, that knowledge that you have about God is springing to life. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Team.